Over to Javid.
All right, thank you. So we will now discuss agenda papers 12A and 12B. We start with paper 12A, which discusses the proposed amendments to IFRIC 14. Now, some time ago, the board proposed amendments to IFRIC 14 and considered feedback on those proposals. However, the board decided to perform further work before proceeding to finalize the proposed amendments. That work would help assess whether a more principles-based approach can be established for an entity to assess its availability of a refund. Paragraph 5 to 18 include background information, and 19 to 28 discuss next steps. Based on our analysis, we recommend that the board not finalize the proposed amendments to IFRIC 14. Paragraphs 20 to 22 include our reasons for this recommendation. In particular, given the bright line nature of the existing requirements in IFRIC 14, we understand that it will be possible for entities to make non-substantive changes to plan agreements to avoid the effects of the amendments. This would in turn reduce much of the expected benefits of those amendments. We also think it is possible to develop a more principle-based approach to address this matter. Paragraphs 25 to 26 provide a very high-level overview of one such approach. At this stage, we do not have enough information to assess whether such a project would be more or less of a priority for the board than any other project that's on the board's research pipeline. So we think the board could consider referring to a project on IFRIC 14 as a potential project in the request for information to its 2020 agenda consultation. So with that, I will direct your attention to the question on page 10 and ask if you agree with our recommendation not to finalize the proposed amendments.
Mary.
While I agree with the recommendation not to finalize the proposed amendments to IFRIC 14, I disagree with some of the characterizations in paragraph 27 and 28 about the possible principle-based approach. And I think it is just that we are overstating and kind of over, you know, building too much process around a decision for the next step. It is clear that we have a situation in which both the basic definition of an asset and the conceptual framework that the entity controls the asset and useful information for investors that, you know, the entity's assets are within their control and not overstated is not being applied by very legalistic readings of, you know, of something that is a piece that is maybe overly hardwired, a piece of an interpretation about how to deal with the asset ceiling, which is one small aspect of one piece of IS-19. Mm-hmm. To say that we have to kick that into the agenda consultation, I think, makes a much bigger deal out of it than is appropriate. I agree with your comment that we don't have enough information to, you know, we haven't tried to do an assessment of what the priority of this is, but it is something that came into the interpretation committee. I think addressing it even in a principle-based nature, given that it's a slice of a slice of a slice of a slice, is something that we would make maybe in response to further feedback with the further discussion with the interpretation committee and getting advice from them. And, you know, having a sense of how much time it would require. And I don't want to send out a message that says we can't do this until we have, you know, the kind of buy-in that we get through the much bigger process of agenda consultation. And in particular, I don't think we have a discrete, explicit research phase on a project of this scale. While even the very smallest projects have an implicit research phase in which we're saying, you know, what is the problem that we're defining? I think that this implies that it's competing against the other things in the research pipeline, like do we do a project on extractives, and this is just so monumentally a different scale. I think that it's a bit of scaremongering about this. So I agree with not finalizing. I think it is possible to do a principle-based approach, and I think we shouldn't just automatically roll on and do it. I think we should assess how it, you know, how it fits in, how big is the problem, how much more effort would it take. But I think we should not overstate the amount of effort involved in doing that.
Can I paraphrase? So you're saying that rather than asking the outside world whether we should be doing this, you think we should do some more analysis of ourselves and that we're able to make that assessment?
Yeah, maybe
questioning whether it's as big a deal as the staff are proposing.
Yeah, maybe in consultation with the Interpretation Committee, for example, because I think this originally came up through a submission to the Interpretation Committee.
And maybe if it's helpful, I'll just clarify, because I understand, Mary, maybe exactly how we worded 27 and 28, that, you know, comes across maybe not necessarily as we intended, because I think from our perspective, we agree in terms of thinking about the size of the actual amendment that might come out of, you know, this sort of just slightly wider, but not that much wider, by the way, principle-based approach. It's not about, I agree with you, Mary, completely. It would definitely be narrow scope, and it definitely is a slice of a slice of a slice of a slice. So in terms of thinking about almost even numbers of word change from a standard-setting perspective, it's not big, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that from any conversations that we've had and intelligence we've had around the project that was already on the table, I think where we anticipate, and maybe it was over-egging if we used considerable time and effort, it wasn't so much in working out the exact standard-setting solution in a sense. It's because the effects of doing that can be quite big amounts for people who are affected. And we already, and for those people affected, I suppose we already knew that when we hit even a narrower clarifying piece, it's almost the time and effort we think is needed is almost bringing our stakeholders with us in a sense, because we anticipate, how would I put it, that at least any change like this wouldn't necessarily automatically be welcomed with open arms by all of our stakeholders throughout the world. So I think the time and effort we were thinking about wasn't necessarily in terms of the words of standard setting. It was just in terms of all of the conversations I think we potentially would
maybe
need to
we
have
need to
along
do work
the way.
Yeah.
And because there's lots of touch points.
Conveying benefits.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's lots of touch points within IFRIC 14, I think, that people have, you know, questioned along the way that this wouldn't necessarily address. And I picture that all coming up again, in a sense.
And I would have thought one of the other areas is just being confident that the principles-based approach is actually going to work to get the outcome we are aiming for. And I think that, for me, would be the more complicated area. Rather than acceptability per se, although we do need to convince people, obviously, that the benefits are worth it.
I was just concerned that it suggested that it had to go into the agenda consultation because it was of a magnitude that suggested it was the equivalent to adding another major project to the pipeline.
Daryl?
So I'll start out by saying I'm disappointed that we're not able to finish this, because I do think that this was something that would have provided, in a very narrow sense, the slice of the slice of the slice, but in a very narrow sense would have provided better accounting in the particular space here. I would also probably agree with Mary that I suspect that we could, in my view, we could have got this to the finishing line without that much additional effort. My concern comes from the slice of the slice of the slice idea, that in the end what we're doing is we're fixing such a narrow thing and leaving behind the stuff on the outside of it. And it's that's more of an issue, that is it really worth all of that effort for what the outcome is? And that kind of leads me to the next part. Before I get there, I assume that somewhere we have a vault where we keep all of this background information that we've gathered over the last couple of years on this project, because I think a lot of people have participated, and clearly we can revisit that at some point. But it does occur to me that as part of your suggestion, you've suggested the idea that we would look to whether or not there's something else we can do about IFRIC 14 and the agenda consultation and the like. It seems to me that the problem here is the narrow scope of IFRIC 14 itself that's forcing us into that slice of a slice of a slice of a slice. And it seems to me that IFRIC 14 is just, anything we explore further around 14 is simply going to trap us in that same little ecosystem where we can't really solve the problem. So whatever we do, I think it's moving away from 14 now into something that we can do that would be more substantial if we were to do something. And perhaps that walks us into the idea of thinking of it more from an agenda consultation view than from a simply an adjustment to an existing interpretation.
François.
Well, I agree that we don't move ahead with the amendments. That's the first part of the response. On the other aspect, I was in agreement with what Mary said about the lack of proportion between what we see, the kind of input that we're seeking in the agenda consultation and the problem at hand. At the same time, I don't have a clear view myself of what it would take, and it could take different forms, and some would be bigger than others. So if you wanted to go to the agenda consultation, I think you would have to really phrase very clearly the objective of the project for which you would seek input. And that in itself is part of the answer. So I think the next step on this would rather be what are the alternatives, the possible alternatives in terms of remedy, and whether it's just a small maintenance project that is reformulated from what it was, or whether it is more encompassing because it's not possible, in fact, to just do something aside what already exists, is something that I have not put enough work to have a view. But I think we need to have the answer before moving.
Okay. Gary.
Thank you. I agree with the staff's recommendation to, in fact, I strongly agree with your recommendation not to finalize this project, but I disagree with the intent of some of our colleagues here that maybe this reopens in a principles-based way. I just think this is a project that should go away. I was articulating as a narrow universe of affected companies as opposed to a slice of a slice of a slice, but I think we're sort of in the same spot. This is a very narrow set of instances where, in theory, this answer, if we finalized it, could potentially apply. Even when it applies, even for companies where it could apply, it will not always apply. It, as I'll explain in a second. I think as you go into agenda consultation, the board's capacity for taking on work, either finalizing old work or taking on new work, is finite. And if you're going to spend time in the pension plan space, I submit the hybrid plans is a much more important place to spend your time. Classic DB plans are in long-term terminal decline. With every day, there's less of an issue than there was yesterday. You know, it might be 50 years before they're totally going away, but no one's opening new ones. And if they are, they're probably a hybrid plan in some way. And so if to the extent you're going to put time in the pension space, we're taking on disclosure work in IAS-19, as we discussed today. Hybrid plans might very well make the cut. I don't think a third pension project is likely to be amongst the most important short list of things the board's going to work on prior year, going forward. I think, Governor, when we look at paragraph 17, I understand the point you're making, but I think the example is off. So you talk about non-substantive changes, for example, removing the right to settle in a single event. First of all, I think that is very substantive. As someone who's been a pension trustee for domestic and international plans, that's a big deal. If the plan participants or the trustees think I can settle the whole thing and now I'm going to subdivide it, something that's substantive. You know, if you want to make a non-substantive argument, I think you got to find a different one than that. But between getting pension regulators, tax qualifications, trustees, employees, and management to agree, you do not make minor changes to pension plans other than a deliberate external need to do so. You know, for example, this. And then I think to the overall premise, if you've got assets in the pension trust greater than the liabilities, that those are not assets in effect. I disagree with that. First of all, I'm trying to think what might they be. That they're better than contingent assets because they are measurable, they exist. They actually deliver benefits to the plan, which ergo to the beneficiaries because they're presumably earning money in it. And if the asset ceiling drops in part because the defined benefit liabilities rise, whether the actuarial results or assumptions or discount rates changes, they become assets again. That, you know, it's a recognized asset 1 year, not a recognized asset the next, back and forth, just doesn't seem to be an improvement in accounting. I mean, the reality is they exist and they exist. I mean, it's like impairing cash in the bank. It is what it sort of comes across if you write it down. I think the most nearest example in operational practice is, I'll call it, restricted cash in trust in trust arrangements supporting, say, collateralized borrowing obligations or something. They're still assets, even though until that obligation is satisfied, those assets effectively are controlled, owned by whoever lended in that agreement, but they don't come off the balance sheet. Here, I don't see why they come off the balance sheet. If you're a beneficiary of the plan, having more plan assets contributing more earnings to the cushion of the plan is a good thing. So, anyways, for all those reasons, I think we should just take this off any agenda going forward. If it comes through back to agenda consultation, I submit hybrid planes is much more important.
Anne. Got two things we're talking about, so take the second one first. I would not take this to agenda consultation because of the nature of the issue being so small. I don't think we want some feedback on direction on projects. This is something that's come through IFRIC, and many people have already described it in a certain way. So it's a very specific and narrow item. So I wouldn't take it to agenda consultation. I don't think it's the right place to go. But then if I was to say no to agree with not finalising, which I can hear many of my colleagues don't want to finalise for the reasons that you have carefully explained in the paper, so where does that leave us? Either it dies today in this meeting, which is Gary's preference, I think that's how I'm hearing him speaking, but there are others around the table that don't want it to die today. So perhaps the way forward, if it's the agreement of the meeting that it doesn't just die today, would be for us to have some information from you about how we could go ahead, not the detail of how you would approach the principles and so forth, but something that would give us an idea of how much work's involved. And I think someone has already mentioned that. I think Mary talked about an idea of how much work. Is that right, Mary or Francoise? Someone. And some sort of idea for decision-making, because this would have to stack up against all the other demands on our time. And I don't feel like I can see that today. I can't see whether... I can hear what Gary's saying about where he sees it fitting, but I can't see how much is involved in this, because I've heard other people say that this is a small thing, and potentially there's something there that could be tidied up, perhaps. But that seems unknown. So I'd need more information. So I think before us today, if the majority is of the view that it doesn't go to agenda consultation, and the majority is also of the view that we don't finalise, then I think we do have to say what we're going to do. Is it dying today? April's been describing things coming to the board table and being killed off. That may be killed off today, or are we going to actually say, what's the next step? But then hopefully the next step could be something with information to make a decision, not just launching into doing it, which is taking action without an evaluation of the priority of this versus other things.
So let me respond. You've preempted what I was planning to do. I was going to wait for Rika, but if it's all right, I'll respond to Anne's question. I think the first question the staff really want us to answer is, do you agree that we shouldn't finalise the thing we put out for comment, which they're suggesting to us is not necessarily going to work the way that we had intended. So I think that's the first concrete decision they want from us. Mm-hmm. Listening to people around the room, subject to what Rika said, my suggestion was going to be, it seemed like people were thinking that agenda consultation doesn't feel like the right place, in which case the thing we would, I think, be asking the staff to do, and I don't think it needs to be in the next 5 minutes or next month, is come back to us with some analysis of how we might be able to proceed with a more principles-based approach to address the issue, for us to assess whether we think that that has, you know, is viable and is an appropriate thing to pursue in the context of our other things that we've got on our plate, and to enable us to make that assessment and to see whether Mary's
sense that maybe it's not such a big deal as, in fact, true or not. So that was going to be my suggestion. Can I let Rika and Daryl come in? And, or was there something?
No, it's okay. I'll let them come in.
Rika?
Okay.
I support staff proposal. And I also hope not to explore a further, actually, because I think I understand that this amendment really targeted to the specific to fix the issue. But even though, by doing that, within the paragraph there is a kind of the definition of unconditional right, or how to deal with uncertainties in future event triggered by the third party, that kind of things are all included in the amendment that was proposed in the past. I mean that everybody tried to apply this implementation faces a question about how to consider unconditional right or how to deal with a future event. So I think if we start exploring something for a very specific transaction, that that will probably affect other cases in the future when people try to apply IFRIC 14. So I think it's really difficult to target it to the narrow area or very specific plan to solve the issue. So if we receive some more broader requests to revisit IFRIC 14 itself, I think that is a timing we need to revisit that this type of the discussion. But at this moment, if we haven't heard that voices a lot, so I don't think I do not appreciate further exploration of this matter, this topic.
Daryl?
So I think, to use the phrase we heard earlier today, for avoidance of doubt, I think my position is probably, given where we are now, closer to Gary's, to say, look, if we're going to kill it, let's kill it properly now, and instead of just kind of keeping it on intensive care for the next couple in the background. I don't know that we're going to get a lot more out of effort out of doing it. But if you are going to bring something back, then I would at least urge you to at least think about in the background, if you can, whether we should be sticking within the scope of IFRIC 14, or whether we can look at something that is slightly broader that actually solves the problem on a more consistent basis, depending on where you land. It just feels to me like the limiting factor for me, the offensive thing for me about the direction here, is that scope limitation that exists in 14 itself.
I just wanted to say a few words about the agenda consultation. We'll be coming to you at a future point with some board papers to discuss the scope of the agenda consultation and how at least we as staff are thinking about the constraints. And as I'm thinking about it right now, I'm struggling a little bit with the idea that this isn't the sort of thing that would be appropriate for an agenda consultation.
It's not.
To me, whether it's small or large is not the big piece. The question is, what's the priority that our stakeholders want out of the board for the next 5 years? So if this project doesn't get killed entirely right now, then what I would actually suggest is maybe the agenda consultation team come to you first with a little bit better description of what we're envisioning the scope to be, get your feedback on that scope, and then if you still believe that this project is not an appropriate thing to put into the agenda consultation, then maybe we ask Katrina's team to come back with the analysis that you're looking for.
Martin?
Yes, a little bit similar, because I think we will have also before the agenda consultation, we will have still projects which we are pipeline projects and others which are not finalized at that point in time. And I think we then have to decide what we should do with it. Should we ask again our stakeholders, or do we take a decision before that and say we decide what we should do with this kind of things? And I think it belongs to this kind of decision-making process. And that is also in line with Gary said. If we have to decide, okay, what we're doing first, our pipeline projects like hybrid pension plans or that, it is a decision we have to take once. I think that's the right time before we have the agenda consultation. But I don't know why we should then include some and others not. I think it is a kind of work we started, not completed. If we don't kill it today, I think then, okay, then we have to treat it similar to others, which we have not finalized. That is what I think.
Mary?
But I think I'm also saying let's treat it similar to others. And while I'm front running our discussion about agenda consultation here, so this may be off kilter, but I could see I think it makes entire sense in the context of the agenda consultation to reflect back on our experience with as the heading for this. Sorry, I wanted to say it right. The heading for this section of the agenda is maintenance and consistent application. How much effort do we spend on that, including how much do we do narrow scope amendments? I think we have never consulted about whether or not we should do a specific narrow scope amendment, a specific AIP or a specific narrow scope amendment in an agenda consultation. I think we do talk about, are we doing the right volume of that? Is it too much change, or is it are we not addressing enough issues? And I just feel like even if we tried a principle-based approach to solving the question that came to the interpretation committee, it would still be a narrow scope amendment, and those are the ones that generally the board decides to take on or not take on the basis of a recommendation from the interpretation committee about whether or not this problem warrants addressing. Now, I could see coming out of the agenda consultation or broader thinking, if we think we're going to open up all of 19, that's a different question. But if we did hybrid plans has no relationship to the asset ceiling, and so a decision to do that is wholly unrelated to a decision about whether or not we. Sorry, the project on, I'm going to screw up the name of it, but asset-based returns, that is a subset of hybrid plans that we have been doing some research on, does not interact with this issue. So I think we have to just not be succumb to the lure of kicking this down the road on the basis that it's IS-19, and we may learn something about IS-19. I think to make a decision about how much, let's keep this in the normal process for narrow scope amendments. That's all I'm saying. And narrow scope amendments are not just of a limited piece. They are a particular category of very narrow scope changes to something.
So taking into consideration what I think I've heard various people say, my suggestion is that I call a vote this way. Firstly, that I'll ask you whether you agree with the staff's recommendation not to proceed to finalise the amendments that we exposed for comment. That's the easiest question. Secondly, I'll ask how many of you want to kill this today and never talk about it again, at least in the foreseeable future. Assuming we don't kill it today based on that vote, the next thing I will ask is for a show of hands on whether you would then agree that the next step would be, as nearly suggests, that we bring it back within the context of the agenda consultation paper. We then can test whether or not we do think it fits, and we can explore what it might look like, the scope of it, just taking into consideration Daryl's comments as well, and think about it there. If we still, somebody like Mary still thinks that it's not appropriate, we've then got the opportunity to say yes or no then, and we've still then ultimately got the opportunity for these guys to do more analysis. So the first and easiest question is whether we proceed with what we exposed. Do we kill it today? Do we give it another airing in the agenda consultation? And then after that, if it's got a life, we'll consider next steps. So the first question is the one set out on page 10. Do you agree with the staff's recommendation not to finalise what we proposed in the exposure draft?
That's everyone?
Yes, that was the easy one.
Sorry, that was
13th.
Next question is, who thinks that this project should be finished today? No more.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6.
Okay. Given that it's survived by the skin of its teeth. Who agrees with Nearly's suggestion to bring it back as part of the agenda consultation analysis that we do?
5.
I think if it's helpful, and if it's not, then just rewind the tape, and I didn't say it.
And erase it.
Inconsistent with our due process. You said it.
So I think I'm picking up on some comments made, and I think particularly, Francoise, I heard you, and you made a good point that maybe if something's going to be discussed as part of the wider agenda consultation and what you do in that and what you put in the request for information, I heard you saying, Francoise, and I think you're right in that, in the sense that if to even make that decision about whether we put something in and what we put something in, we kind of need to know what the what is. And I've heard today, I think, what our paper anticipated coming into this room and what's in the paper is only a possible what that is still narrow scope, to your point, Mary. It's slightly wider than what we had proposed, but it's still very narrow scope just to come up with a more principled way of working out when you take into account settlement costs. But that's still narrow scope. I think what I heard discussed today was, you know, Daryl and maybe some others thinking, well, is there something bigger there, more holistically looking at, you know, when settlement costs are taken into account or not? And I suppose what I wondered, without going into excruciating detail on this, when the agenda consultation paper comes back, maybe we just need to put in that those two, just explain at least a few paragraphs in each what would be the narrow scope principle piece and therefore what problem we think we'd be solving and what we wouldn't solve. Mm-hmm. And what if we went wider, what would that look like, and could that then, that might solve more, but could that be done without opening up all of IS19 measurement?
The reason why I didn't think it was as hard a question as it's turned out to be is that I thought partly what we wanted to be able to help us with our decision making, which the agenda consultation discussion would help us with, would be to get our heads around whether it's appropriate for something which is this sort of narrow scope nature, which has already come through the sausage machine of the interpretation, so it came from an interpretation question, to be a big enough deal that it gets to the agenda consultation at all. And I was hoping that that paper they bring helps us with that basic idea. Yeah. Because I think some people are thinking, God, we're getting worse by the minute. some people are thinking that that should never be the case, whereas other people are... So I think we've got about 10 different views going on at once. Tom?
Yeah, that's where I was. On the second part, I just have too many views and I've heard too many good arguments, and I really agree with everything everybody said behind every one of the 10 views. And I wouldn't mind if staff just went away and clarified and came back like I have no idea what's big enough to get into the agenda, and I'm voting on stuff. I have no feel. If you guys could just take it away and then come back with a bit something.
The other alternative is we just stick with what we voted on today. We then wait for the agenda consultation paper to come so we understand better what's in and out of that. And after we've had that discussion, then we can talk about next steps on that.
Yes. Yeah, agreed. Something like
we
that.
We vote on that. Yep. Francoise, did you want to say something first?
Well, I mean, not necessarily something that adds a lot. I think we voted in favour of not going ahead with the amendments largely because... the amendments didn't lead to
the outcomes,
good enough outcomes, and not because there is no problem.
Yep.
And to me, the next step was to see whether there is the possibility of a reasonably constrained maintenance effort before going anywhere else. Because if I think the agenda consultation step is if there is no why of a spot, as exactly as Mary said. I mean, we have this maintenance effort pot there where it's possible that this belongs. So to me, the next step would be to look at the agenda consultation only after we are convinced that it's not part of the maintenance pot. And we don't have the elements to get the conclusion yet.
I was going to suggest a slight variation, but Gary, do you want to come in?
Yeah, the thinking outside of the box, if we kill it today, which we didn't come quite close enough. But but if we killed it and stopped and sort of let the interpretations committee, whoever's part of it, bring it back in if they think it's that important and rephrase it with these things. No, but the point is, I think, is there even a demand for this thing? Is so old, it's been around a long time. Is there still even a demand to finish this as it is? That's sort of what I'm testing. Now, maybe an agenda consultation, maybe it doesn't make the cut in our document, but you don't know what feedback will come back, you know, down the line. But I'm just testing, is there still a demand to finish this thing as is? If you think about, this is not really a pension issue. It's an asset impairment issue that happens because by mechanics of the pension plan. So you think, here's a case, I got more assets than I need, and all of a sudden the accounting is, that's a bad thing, we forget they exist. Operationally, it's going to affect funding. If you're going to put money into a plan, you have to immediately write it off the balance sheet, and all of a sudden, that affects funding decisions. So I'm asking, is there still a demand for this project, given where we are now? You know, recognize it is narrow, or slice of a slice of a slice. And I submit there's a thousand slices out there in the accounting universe that can be brought in. This one's here because it went through interpretations committee, but it doesn't exist alone. You know, there could be any number of other things that come in that are very narrow that could be worked on. But this is not a pension issue, it's an impairment issue.
That's a recognition issue. So, given that we voted not to kill it today, my suggestion, unless anybody violently objects, is that we wait until the agenda consultation becomes. That gives us an extra data point in terms of how to think about things, and then we can follow that with an analysis on what it might look like, whether the agenda consultation is or isn't a possible home, given what we learn that we don't know today, and then we can decide what to do. Is that all right? Okay. Thank you. We'll talk about update. Yep.
Okay, so with that, we will now move on to Agenda Paper 12B, which summarizes the Interpretations Committee's January meeting. The committee finalized one agenda decision related to the assessment of whether a contract contains a lease. In the fact pattern discussed, many, but not all, of the relevant decisions about how and for what purpose an asset is used are predetermined in the contract. The committee concluded that the contract contains a lease because the customer retained relevant decision-making rights. I will stop here and ask if you have any questions on the IFRIC update.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's the end of the meeting for today. Thank you.